Well, today we're going to continue in our series that we started 2 weeks ago entitled Eyewitness Accounts of Christmas. Eyewitness Accounts of Christmas. And then, of course, that week we talked about the eyewitness account of Mary. Well, today we're going to talk about the eyewitness account of some other people today. We're going to talk about the eyewitness account of angels and shepherds. Angels and shepherds. We're going to look through their eyes today and kind of see the story through the angels' eyes and the shepherds' eyes and see how does that relate to you and I. How many of us live in a message society that we are constantly messaging people? I mean, remember when you used to have to dial somebody on the phone to leave a message? I mean, nowadays, you know, we got emails and we have text messaging. I mean, we are in a messaging society. People are constantly messaging people. They can't drive down the road without messaging somebody illegally on their phone. And leaving emails, we got to check our emails, and we're constantly being updated. Now our phones have emails, and so, you know, now our phones are able to check our emails on the phone. We are constantly leaving messages. What did we ever do? You know, this week when we didn't have power, my kids are like, Dad, what are we going to do? I'm like, heaven forbid, we got to read a book. You know, I know. That seems so foreign to you, but, you know, you remember the days? We live in a messaging society. We like to leave messages. And I want to talk to you about a group of people today who receive a life-changing message. The shepherds and the people who gave this life-changing message, the angels. These men were working out in the graveyard shift, and these guys were working the backside of the hills there as shepherds, working the midnight shift, sipping on their cup of Starbucks coffee or whatever it was, Bethel Bucks coffee, whatever it was. Anyway, they were out there, and they were sipping their coffee, staying awake, you know. And all of a sudden, we see where the angel of the Lord appears to them and tells them the good news of the coming Savior. And can you imagine the terrified look they must have had? Can you imagine being out there working the shepherds, and all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appears to you? I mean, you're talking about the supernatural meeting the natural. This is what we have happening here. We have the supernatural of the angels meeting the natural world of the shepherds. And their worlds collided right there at this point as the angels were the messengers God used to send the good news of the upcoming Savior. That the Savior is born this day. And he came and they communicated this message to them. And today, how many ever watched the X-Files? Anybody ever watched the X-Files in here? How many like the CSI and the X-Files and all these detective dramas? You like those? That's one of the most popular things nowadays is anything that has to do with the investigation and the X-Files and kind of sifting through the paranoia, you know, of what's really normal and what's abnormal, what's the natural, what's the supernatural, and all these things, and investigating crime scenes and investigating. So today, we need to investigate this scene and see what does it really communicate to you and I. And I want us to look at this scene. Can you imagine, as they get this video ready, can you imagine what must have happened when the angel appeared to the shepherds today? And let's look at this video for a short minute here and get a picture of this. It was a dark night. There he goes. Okay.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord stood among them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that is meant for everybody. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And the angels withdrew into heaven. The shepherds hurried off, running to find Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Seeing was believing.
And at Christmas time, we see where these worlds collide, where we see the supernatural meeting the natural. We see these things that seem
the phenomenon that we see happening of Christmas. And, you know, and it so amazes me that people who say they don't believe in Jesus, people who say they don't believe in God and they don't believe in the supernatural, they don't believe in the power of all these things, but yet at Christmas time, every time they buy a Christmas present, what are they validating? They're celebrating the birth of a Savior. Every time we write out a check and we put down the date on that check and we write the year 2007, what are we saying? 2007 years ago, a Savior came, and it's so important that it even divided the way we keep our time. B.C. and A.D., we see it happening, and we see where this Christmas time, where the world of the supernatural and the natural come together. And at Christmas time, we see an opening to the supernatural, belief that Christ did come, was born, and walked this earth. And we see people celebrating this, even if they don't realize to the full extent what they're celebrating. They are celebrating the supernatural birth of our Lord. They are celebrating this event where God himself, the supernatural God, all-powerful God, left heaven and came and walked this earth as a human being. We see where our hearts are drawn to Christ during this time. The Bible even explains to us in Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says that God has set eternity in the hearts of men. Every one of us have in our hearts a mechanism there seeking after eternity and what comes next. What is life beyond today? And I want us to look and see when Jesus came to alter all eternity, when Jesus came to change our natural to meet his supernatural. And today we're going to look at it in Luke 2:10. And we just seen the video of this, and it talks about the angels coming. And it says here in Luke 2:10, But the angels said to them. First of all, I want to talk to you about angels. And there's a lot of misconceptions about angels today. You talk about angels, and what do you think about? I was looking up angels on the internet and looking at different things. I was looking for pictures of angels to use for my PowerPoint slides, and I mean, you just would not believe the skewed up view that people have of angels, from the soft, gentle statue of the angel piercing the bow to people taking the angels and even making erotic worship out of it. I mean, it is so skewed our view of angels today. And yet, if you write a book on angels, it becomes a bestseller. Or you produce a movie about angels or a TV show about angels, and those things become instant hits right away because people are fascinated with angels. And I think today we have a lot of misconceptions. So I want to give you this acronym for angel, and maybe you can kind of understand what angels really are. Let's look at the word angel. A stands for aware. Angels are aware of what's going on in our lives. Angels are aware. In 1 Corinthians 4:9, it states that we are the spectacle to angels. And the word spectacle here is the word that translates basically like in a sporting event. And when you were in a stadium and watching spectators watch the event happening, the angels are actually watching us, and we are spectacles in the angels' eyes. They are actually watching what we do here on earth. It stands for aware. Matthew 18:10 teaches us that an unsigned guardian angel is given to us at our Christian birth, that when we accept Christ, that we have angels that are assigned to us, according to Matthew 18:10, that we have angels, guardian angels, that are assigned to us as Christians. And so they are aware of what's going on in our life. Angels understand what's happening in our lives. Think about 2 Kings 6 and the story of Elijah. And the angels here, we see where Elijah was there, and his servant was there. He's like, listen, Elijah, why aren't you nervous? All these people are out there, the enemy's out there, and they've come to destroy you. They know you're inside here eating, and when you leave here, they're going to kill you, man. They're out there waiting for you. There's an army of people out there, and they're ready to kill you. And Elijah prayed this prayer. He said, God, I want to pray this prayer that my servant would see what I see in the spiritual eyes and give him spiritual eyes to see. And we see immediately his eyes were transformed to something that he couldn't see naturally. A supernatural thing happened to him that the Holy Spirit allowed him to actually see into the spirit realm. And it says that when he looked out, that he saw a host of heavenly angels camped about the enemies ready to do war. And of course, when they left there, they walked out of there untouched, unharmed, because the angels were there protecting them. And the servant was able to see through the natural eyes the supernatural work of the angels that God had put there. So we see where angels are aware that they're protecting us and they're aware of what's going on in our life. N stands for numbered. We see where the angels are numbered. Their number remains constant. We don't see where angels are increasing or decreasing, but we see where angels were created and they remain constant. We see how they are broken up into populations, and they have archangels who are over a third of the tribes of the angels. And we see where the Michael, the archangel, and Gabriel, the messenger. So it's taken for granted that Gabriel was the one who delivered this message from the angels. And it said the angels appeared because he's the same one who appeared to John the Baptist's mom and said, John the Baptist has come. And talked about John the Baptist has also assumed that he's the one who appeared to the shepherds and delivered a messenger because he was the head messenger angel. And we see where G stands for God created. Angels were created by God over 300 times in the Bible and over 23 times in the book of Luke alone. We see where angels were given assignments according to God's command. That God commanded the angels to do something and given them assignments in Scripture. So they are God created. E stands for the fact that angels execute God's purpose. Angels execute God's purpose. They execute God's plan and formula in the world today. In the book of Genesis, the angels guarded the Eden with the flaming swords. And they also carried out judgment against the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. In Ezekiel, they overwhelmed the prophet with mind-blowing visions. And in Ezekiel, they also did what? They guarded. What did they guard? What else did they do? In the book of Revelation, it says they worshiped Jesus. I mean, all throughout the Scripture, we see where angels are given assignments, and they're guarding, and they're protecting, and they're executing God's plan. They're worshiping the Lord around the throne. But only in America, as Don King would say, only in America could we take something like angels and totally skew them and twist them around. Well, we do find out that angels were never meant to be worshipped. The Scripture is very clear. We're not to worship the angels. Matter of fact, the angels were created to worship. The angels were created also to worship. The angels are worshiping God. We were not ever commanded to worship the angels. And they're not little humming butterflies flowing around despite what you may think. They're not these little soft butterflies flowing around. They are actually warring angels that are created to do battle on our behalf. And I've heard testimony of people who had visions of angels and different things, but you know, it's very clear what we see in Scripture when it talks about angels. They are warring angels. They are praising angels. They are singing God's glory. They are executing God's plan. They are executing God's army. I mean, these are powerful people who are battling in the spirit realm, and they watch over us according to Christians that God appoints these angels to guard over us. L stands for limited. They are also limited. They are not to be worshipped, are they? They are not to be worshipped. We don't worship angels, okay? We do not worship angels. They were not created to be worshipped. But they are limited in what they can do according to what God has commanded them to do, what God has empowered them to do. So as we see angels here, that God chose to use an angel to deliver his message. Isn't that an interesting fact? That God chose an angel to deliver his message. He chose to use, even though he was coming in a natural way through birth, he chose to use the supernatural to communicate the birth of our Savior. The birth of our Savior was coming in a natural way through childbirthing. But he also used a supernatural way of saying, hey, the baby's coming. Go find the Bethlehem. He used a supernatural way of conceiving through Mary, the angel. We see who said, you're pregnant. And we see where she was a virgin, but yet she was pregnant with God's child, with God himself. Jesus Christ came, man, flesh, and walked the earth. And so we see where the supernatural and the natural continue to collide together and come together. So what happens when this happens in this season? What was the response here? We see this in Luke 2:10. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news, a great joy that will be for all people. I love that phrase that says, I bring you good news, for great joy for all people. For all people. Because it's very clear. If you've ever had anybody ever tell you that the Bible and Christianity was only for a certain group of people, a certain race of people, ethnic groups, or for different countries, or whatever they try to divide it and say, this is for the Jews, this is not for the Jews, this is for the Gentiles, this is for this group and that group. The Scripture is very clear. He says, I have brought you good news, and it is for all people. All people. This is for all people groups, for all nations, for everyone, every denomination, every color of people, every class of people, every ethnic group. He says, this is the great news of joy for all people. So it defines it right there. And we see it very clear. This is message was for everyone. I believe God chose the shepherds to show the universality of the gospel. We see the guy. Why did God choose shepherds? I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, you talk about really people who were very unimportant in that day was the shepherds. I mean, the people who got the low end of the totem pole of the jobs were the shepherds. I mean, the guys who had the skills, they got to work in town. They got to work as carpenters and work around town and keep, you know, the household going. But, man, the shepherds, they were off on the backside of the desert. They're off in the countryside by themselves with a bunch of stinking sheep. I mean, it's not a pretty picture. It was not a easy job. And as we go back, I'm not going to talk about the what it takes to be a shepherd, but just to tell you that it was not an easy job. It was a very dirty, stinky job taking care of the sheep. And it was not a job that was valued by a lot of people. And so when God went to use the shepherds to be his messenger, what was he saying? He was saying, I'm not using the king to deliver this message. I'm not using a prophet to deliver this message. The God came to ordinary blue-collar workers on the hillside and said, behold, this day, this is what's happening, man. I've got some good news for you. God chose to use the shepherds on the hill. So what does that mean to you and I? That he valued you and I. That he didn't just value somebody who was in the White House. He didn't just value somebody who was in the kingdom. He didn't just value somebody who was high up in a social class. But he valued all people. And he chose to use regular people. He chose to use people that other people may not have wanted to use because they stunk. Man, they're out there with the sheep, and they didn't smell good. And they're after taking their sheep, didn't smell good. I mean, it was nasty out there. But yet the angels came and went to these people. Why? Because he was trying to prove something. The supernatural was meeting the natural. And it wasn't just the privileged who were able to hear the voice of God. It was just not a certain group of people who were isolated to hear God's message. But he chose to speak to people just like you and me. He chose to speak to everyday people just like you and me to deliver his message to. The outcast of the day, they were considered ceremonially unclean. Do you realize that? The shepherds were not even allowed to go to the temple to worship because they took care of the sheep who were they considered ceremonially unclean because of all the, let's just say, the sheep poo they had to deal with, okay? They had to deal with the sheep poo. And so, man, it was nasty. And so they were classified as unclean people. They were not even allowed to worship in the temple. So when God went to them, he says, listen, you may say by your law, that these people are unclean, but I'm going to show you how important they really are. I'm going to deliver my message to them personally. Don't you let anybody tell you you're not valuable in God's eyes. Don't you let anybody tell you that God does not care about you. Don't you let anybody tell you that God does not want to speak to you. God will speak to you. God will speak to me. He will speak to your neighbor. But if we will listen to him, he will speak to us, and he values you just as much as he values anybody else. We are all equal in God's eyes. And we see him coming to the shepherds. It was more than just a delivery of a message of the coming Christ. But it was a message saying to, hey, listen, I see you. The ones they have marked that says you can't go to the temple. Let me tell you this. The Christ is coming. And I'm using you to deliver my message. I mean, what a powerful statement that God would choose the supernatural angels to come to the natural world of the shepherds to deliver his message. I mean, that brings a message of hope to me and a message of hope to you that God is speaking to us, that God is valuing you and me. It's fascinating to realize that Jesus was called the Good Shepherd and the Lamb of God both. These shepherds were streetwise. They were not easily fooled. They knew what was happening here. They knew that there was something bigger going on. So let's look at their response. In verse 13, it says, and then suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared and began to praise God. The angels praised God when he created the world. Now in Luke 2, they are praising God because of the new creation. The Savior is coming. We see where the angels begin to sing, glory to God on the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill to men. I mean, we see them praising God, singing out. The angels were singing. I mean, I would have loved to have been the shepherds right then to hear the angel choir singing out the songs of worship to the Lord, praising God. These guys were like, wow. Man, this is not even Branson, man. This is cool. Look at this. I mean, can you imagine the shepherd's response? And what would you do? Let's see what the shepherds do. They went and told them the good news of the coming Savior. Look at verse 15. Look at the shepherd's response. It says, let's go. What a powerful statement. You say, Pastor, what's the big deal about let us now go to Bethlehem? What's the big deal about that? Let us go. Because we see when the message was delivered to them, they were chosen to be the messengers of Christ's birth. What did they do? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've chosen the shepherds. It's about time we've received the recognition that we need. We don't see that, do we? We don't see them saying, ha-ha, let's go get our family and let them bring them back to the spot and show them, this is where the angel of the Lord appeared to us. If you want to be anointed like us, come and stand in our spot, man. Come and hang out with our shift. This is the, man, this shift, man, we got it covered. We are the anointed ones, man. God chose to speak to us. We don't see any of that. What, it says, let's go to Bethlehem. Immediately they went to begin to seek after the Christ. They didn't waste time. It says they left and they hurried off and they found Mary. In verse 16, so they hurried off and they found Joseph and Mary. I mean, they didn't waste any time. They said, I'm going to go be obedient to what's going on. The angel of the Lord said, he has come. Let's go find him. Then verse 17 says it like this. When they had seen him, they spread the word. Boy, I love that statement. That first, the angel of the Lord comes to him. The supernatural angels come to the natural world of the shepherds and speak to them. And they communicate a twofold message. One, that the Savior has come. And number two, that I'm choosing to use you as a voice piece. There's a two-sided message here. And then when they take this message, really, God values us. He spoke to us. They go and are obedient. They go and they find Mary and Joseph. They see the baby. And it says, then they leave, and immediately they begin to spread the word. They spread the word. And this is a powerful thing, statement, because why? First of all, they didn't have any Bible college. Can you believe they were out spreading the word of Christ? They had no teaching on theology. But yet they're out teaching and sharing the word of Christ. They had no one who was mentoring them. They had no one who was teaching them, but yet they're out spreading the word. So what's that say to you and I? That you and I need to quit making excuses. We need to go out and spread the word. That when we have heard the message of our saving, of our Savior, of our King who came and died for us, who lived for us, who gave his life for us, that you and I have a responsibility to spread the word. We have a responsibility to tell what has happened to us. That's what they did. They went out and they told people about the witness. This is what the angel said to us, and we followed it. And this is true. We saw the baby Jesus ourselves. He is here. The Messiah is here. Messiah has come. We've seen it firsthand. And they're out being a firsthand witness and telling the truth about what has happened. Verse 20 says it like this, then the shepherds went back again to the fields and flocks, praising God for the visit of the angels, because they had seen the child just as the angel had told them. They went out and they spread the word. They spread the word about what the angels had told them. And today we have a responsibility to spread the word of what God has told us. You have a responsibility all year round to share, not just at Christmas time. We have a responsibility all year round to share the witness that God has done in our life. Well, Pastor, I can't preach or I can't teach. But we can all share what God has done in our life. Every one of us have a story. You can share your encounter with Christ and how it has changed your life. You can share about how the person you used to be before you accepted Jesus and the person you are now. You can share the things that he's helped you through firsthand. I cannot share your story. Only you can share your story. I can't witness to your friends. Only you can witness to your friends. God did not place me in your school. He placed you in your school. God didn't place me in your work. He placed you in your work. And he longs to let you be the voice piece, the mouthpiece that he's wanting to use. And what does he want me to say, Pastor? I don't want to say. You simply say what he's done in your life. You simply say, I have found the Messiah. I have found the Messiah. And come, let's adore him together. He will change your life. You can talk about how God has changed your life. There's two things today, and when we talk about the natural world and the supernatural world colliding, there's two things today that we can do on earth
today that we can't do in heaven. When we get to heaven, there's one thing we can't do, and that's we cannot sin. We can't sin in heaven. When we get to heaven, when the rapture takes place, and we are faithful to be with him, according to the scripture and the second coming of Christ, there'll be no sin in heaven. There'll be no way that sin will not be in existence. We will not have it in our nature. Sin will not be anywhere near the nature of heaven. Okay, so sin will be impossible in heaven. Also, the other thing is this. The other thing we cannot do when we get to heaven is we cannot witness in heaven. We can't spread the good news of Jesus in heaven. So today, what that means? That means that my job today is to do it while I'm here on earth. My job today is to spread the good news now. My job today is to spread the good news. That's why I'm here. Why did Jesus not take me up to heaven when I became a Christian? Because he left me on the earth to spread the good news. He left you and I here to spread the good news. The Savior did come as a child, and he walked this earth, and he died on the cross for our sins. And he will change my life, that he is the Messiah. In heaven, we can't witness, but today we can. So today, I want to give you a challenge, a Christmas challenge. You got your bulletin or a piece of paper and a pen. Why don't you take it out now? If you don't, I want you to please make a mental note of me saying. How many of you know that you're supposed to bring a pen and paper to church with us? Do you know that?
Amen.
If you don't have a notebook, then ask somebody to buy you a notebook for Christmas, okay? A pen? It's important we bring a pen and paper with us and we take notes when we're speaking at church. I want to give you a challenge today. I want you to make a list of three people. You can write it down and straight on the back of the bulletin of this paper. If not, go home right after this and make a list of three people. But in your mind right now, I want you to think of three people who are not the family of God. Three people you know who are not serving God. And I want you to make a list of these three people, and I want you to begin to think about these people and begin to think, how can I make a difference in life? And this is where the challenge gets a little testy here. The second part of the challenge is I want you to pray a dangerous prayer. Pray that God will open up opportunities for you to show Christ's love generously. When you leave here today, I want you to pray this prayer. When you get up tomorrow, I want you to pray this prayer. When you're driving your car to work tomorrow, stretching the kids to school, whatever you're doing, I want you to pray this prayer. God, give me the opportunity to show your love to these three people. Open up the door with a phone call, do something. Maybe, you know, this week I had a neighbor, I'll be honest with you, I have a neighbor that just say that, you know, God always puts people in your life that kind of test your faith. You know what I'm talking about? Okay? I have a neighbor that I haven't had a bad relationship with. We have a bad relationship, but we don't have a good relationship. And it's best that we don't talk all the time because it doesn't always go well. And so, you know, it's always a challenge for me to be nice to them, even though I know I'm close to them as a pastor, but more so I'm close to them as a Christian. And so this week when the storm happened, I was able to go over there and I had a few of my limbs that fell over in their yard. But as I picked up my limbs, I saw all their limbs and just went and picked up their yard for them and helped them out. And this is the last thing I wanted to do after being out there about 12 hours already, picking up my own limbs and, of course, all this kind of thing. But, you know, I'm just able to show them in the Holy Spirit, this is the way you can do it. And then go knock on the door and say, hey, by the way, I picked up your limbs. I guess I'm bigger than you are. But I didn't have to do that. I just went and simply picked up your limbs. And, I mean, never hear another thank you. Don't know where to thank you. I also know that, you know what, even though we may not always see eye to eye some things, that Christ's love is alive in my life. And I can get happy and show his love in a practical way. And so if you pray this prayer, God, just give me a way of showing your love to people. God will reveal it to you. God will reveal things to you that you can show your love to people and show God's love.
And I believe this is a dangerous prayer because I believe you pray, it'll happen. I'm just a man of faith. I can tell you, when I pray this prayer, it happens. And so I challenge you, pray this prayer. God, make a list of three people. Pray this prayer. God, help me to be able to show your love to them this week. What can I do? And maybe you can even have an opportunity to invite them to come next Sunday morning. I would tell you, there's people all across this community who are very sensitive to coming to church on a Christmas service. They probably don't go to church any other time of the year. Easter and Christmas, people are sensitive to coming to the house of God because they know it's a Christmas thing to do. And so people who probably would come if somebody would just ask them. Somebody would just ask him. So I just challenge you. Pray that opportunity, God. Give me a voice so I can invite them to come to church. Some of you will have clients come to your business this week. Some of you will have neighbors to come in contact with. Some of you will have family that you see today and other times this week. There's people we all have that you're going to see at practice this week. You're going to see at school this week. You're going to see at your job this week. You're going to talk to on the phone. There's people we're going to talk to and see that they need to be in church somewhere. They need to know that Jesus loves them. Pray, God, give me an opportunity so that I can know that you love them. That I can show it to them in a practical way. Maybe I can share a testimony. Maybe I can pray with them about something they're going through in their life. Maybe invite them to go to church with me. Invite them to come to church with me. Invite them to come to church with you this Sunday. You'd be surprised at how many people would come on a Sunday before Christmas. They wouldn't come any other time of the year. And if we can just get them here, and then leave the rest of the Holy Spirit and see what he does in their life. So pray that prayer. And I got to open up opportunities for you to show this love. The third challenge is to simply spread the word. Spread the word. Spread the word. The shepherds went and they spread the word. The message was given to them. They didn't boast about their message. They didn't go around and say, oh, it's about time. Us shepherds got our due. I mean, my first inclination would be to go to the priest and say, you think you're so tough. You're in that world going to the holies of holies and everything. You know, hey, the angels appeared to me. You know, that would be my first response as a human being. We don't see that. We're not just somebody who spread the word of God's love. The Messiah has come. He's come. He's told us that he has come to bring peace on earth, to build the man. The Messiah is here, born of the baby, born of the Virgin Mary. We have seen the Messiah. A promise to be fulfilled. Our challenge is to spread the word. What a Christmas challenge this year. Make a list of three people who would need to be serving God. Pray that God will open up opportunities for you to show Christ to them. And be ready to share what Christ has done for you in your life. Spread the word. Spread the word. Let's bow our heads this morning. Today as we bow our heads, and I just want to give you an opportunity here. And I very seldom ever close out a service without giving you a chance today. If you're here, maybe you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here this Christmas season, you say, Pastor, as you're speaking, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and life, as my Lord and Savior, into my life. Maybe you've been coming to this church for a long time. Maybe you've been here several weeks. That's okay. There's no limit. Maybe people hear you say, everybody assumes I'm a Christian, but I never have raised my hand before. It's okay, we're not going to embarrass you today, but you need to confess with your own mouth. It's just not good enough to come to church, but you got to confess with your mouth your sins and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. And so today, with every head bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you say, I want to accept Jesus Christ into my life. I want to ask Him to be Lord of my life. I want to accept who He is today. If that's you today, I want to invite you just to bow your heads where you're at, and just to raise your hands and say, that's me, Pastor. I want to accept Jesus Christ into my life. No one's looking at me, and I would not embarrass you. I don't give you that chance today. Can you raise your hand where you're at? Second question here today for you is this. See, Pastor, as you're speaking today, I realize the magnitude of the shepherds and the angels and how the supernatural met the natural world, the eye accounts of Christmas. And as I see the value that God has for my life, and I see the value of the message to give in my life, I just want to raise my hand today and say, Pastor, this week I'm going to be more responsive to the message of Christ. Not that you have never, that you anything wrong with you, but sometimes we get very complacent. We all do. We can get very complacent in the message of Christ, the testimony that He's given our life. And so today if you're here and say, Pastor, that's me, I just want to raise my hand and say that I want to be obedient to this Christmas challenge. I want to accept the Christmas challenge. Can you raise your hand and say, that's me? Yes, several people. Anybody else today? That's me. I want to accept the Christmas challenge. If you're accepting the challenge, can you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Yeah, thank you. Hands going up everywhere. It's a big challenge, I know. But it's a simple challenge of being obedient. As the shepherds were obedient, from the supernatural met the natural. Today, as we celebrate the supernatural birth of our Christ into our natural world, let's stand together. I'm going to pray a prayer for you, especially those who raised your hands today and say that you wanted to be that witness. I believe today that God's supernatural power of His Holy Spirit can give you boldness to do the things that we're nervous about doing on our own. Father, I just pray today. I thank you, God, that the supernatural message of Jesus Christ came to our natural world and communicated to us that you love us, that you died for us, that you've come to bring peace on earth and goodwill to all men. That you are the Messiah that the prophets prophesied about, who would come and wash away the sins of the world. And today, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have come, Lord, to die for us. And God, may we take the message of Jesus Christ in our heart and spread it. Lord, I pray for those who raised their hands today and said they wanted to accept the challenge. I pray to Father that they accept this challenge, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would empower them, God, to be the witness you've called them to be. That your Holy Spirit would empower them, Father, to come, Lord, and to share, Lord, the goodness and the mercy of Jesus in their life. God, forgive us, Lord, of being busy this Christmas season. And God, I'm forgetting, Lord, that it's still all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's still all about you, Jesus. And today, Father, we thank you, Lord, and give you praise. Empower us, God, this week to be the witness that you've called us to be.
We accept this challenge today. And when we go forth as the shepherds did and spread the good news of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has come to change our world. We thank you today, Father, and give you praise. And we say it together, amen, amen. God bless you today. We'll see you tonight. Listen, before you leave, we'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock. Bring a dish with you.